8 is where we're at today in our study of Daniel, and I have been challenged and encouraged by studying the book of Daniel. The events that have taken place in the news yesterday and today just remind us of the reality of Daniel's prophecy. I hear people say, what's this world coming to? Well, the Bible tells us what it's coming to. We're not sure exactly how we're going to get from here to there, but it's becoming more clear every day. And I don't believe it's going to be very long before the Lord calls us home. And I know it's not long before the Lord calls us home, either one by one or all at once. I'm kind of looking forward to all of us going at once, but we don't know. No one knows the day or hour, the hour, but the Lord Himself. And just by way of an overview, as we've been studying the book of Daniel, when we get to chapter number 7, we really focus now on the prophecies for the end times. And the end times have been here for over 2,000 years, and they continue until the end of time. And that's the focus of Daniel chapter number 8 that we'll get into in just a moment. But if you remember that the first 6 chapters talks about Daniel's personal life, and there's one vision that's given to King Nebuchadnezzar in chapter number 2 that the rest of the book builds upon that. And Belshazzar, who is the king when we come to chapter number 8, was the last king of the Babylonian Empire. In chapter number 7, we saw 4 beasts rise up out of the sea. One of them was a lion, and the bear, and the leopard, and then the dreadful and terrible beast. Those are 4 empires. That one of them was still on the first one, Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was the last king of Babylon, and that's when Daniel received the vision that he was given in chapter number 8. Belshazzar was still the king of Babylon. And then he talked about the next empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, which, by the way, is today called Iran. That's the Persian world, the Persian Empire. That's much in the news today. And then the leopard is the Grecian Empire. Now, Iran Persia as an empire no longer exists, but the state of the nation still exists. And they're still very much a part of prophecy and will be until the very end, as well as the Grecian Empire and the Roman Empire, the great and dreadful, terrible beast. And then the vision that Daniel was given in chapter number 8 is really a focus on those 2 middle empires. If you've been studying along with us, you know who those are. That's the Medo-Persian Empire and the Grecian Empires. Daniel's given a vision in chapter number 8 of a ram with 2 horns. One of the horns, and I'm just going to go over this quickly. I won't have time to go into a lot of detail because there's something I want to focus on this morning. The ram with 2 horns, one of the horns, if you remember, was higher than the other. And the greater of the 2 horns came in last. And this animal, this ram with the 2 horns, was pushing to the west, pushing to the north, and pushing to the south. There's one direction that was left out, which that's an interesting study too. But then, out of nowhere comes a he-goat, as Daniel sees in his vision in chapter number 8. And he comes from the west. And he comes in so fast, he doesn't even touch the ground. That's one fast goat, is what that is. He comes in, and this goat has a large horn growing between his eyes. And he came in a rage and obliterated the ram, who was powerless against this goat. And then the horn of that ram was broken off in its time. It seemed to be unstoppable, but now it's broken off. And out of that place where that one horn was, 4 horns grew up. This is the vision that Daniel was given. And out of those 4 horns eventually came one, as Daniel describes it, a little horn that magnified himself. And that's what we're going to focus on today. And I want you to read it with me or follow along in Daniel chapter number 8 and in verse number 15. And Daniel says, "And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning." I've tried to understand what this vision was. "And behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai," that's the river that he's next to, "which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision." By the way, this is the first time that the angel Gabriel is mentioned in the Bible. And only one of three times when he appears in the Bible. He appears here to Daniel. He's going to later, if you're familiar with the Old and the New Testament, Gabriel is going to appear before Zacharias, John the Baptist's father. And Gabriel is again going to appear before Mary, the virgin who would give birth to Jesus Christ. In verse number 17, "So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said unto me, Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for the time appointed of the end shall be." There's a couple of interesting statements that I want to draw your attention to. One's in verse number 17 and one's in verse number 19. The time of the end in verse number 17 and then the time appointed the end shall be in verse number 19, which we'll come back to those in a little bit. But I will say this, that if we're going to properly understand the Bible, we need to let the Bible interpret itself. A lot of folks read the Bible and say, well, that's a matter of how you interpret it. Well, you get this from it and I get that from it and your interpretation might be right. The best thing you can do is let God interpret the Bible. Because God's going to tell us what these images are that Daniel saw. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the word of God does clarify itself to us when we study it and when we give ourselves to it. And we see illustrated in Daniel's life, Lord, as you showed him exactly what he was seeing when he was confused by what he was seeing and hearing. Lord, I pray that you would bless now your word. Help us to see the day that we're living in, to understand the times that we are in right now, and that we might use this time that we have available to us to seek you with all our heart, with all our mind and soul and strength. And Lord, that those that are not saved, that they would hear the message of salvation before it's eternally too late. And that message is only going to come from us to them as we share the wonderful story found in your word. Bless now your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Let the Bible interpret itself. What are these two animals that Daniel saw? You look at verse number 20. It's interesting. God says, "The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia." Now keep in mind, when Daniel wrote this, Babylon was still in control of the world. The Medes and the Persians have not yet risen. Now Daniel would see that fulfilled in his lifetime, as we read earlier the story of many of the events that took place in Daniel's life. And then verse number 21, "And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the horn that is between his eyes is the first king." And that's the one I want to focus on here in a few moments today. But I want to see today the man of sin, as he's referred to in the Bible. There are two great imposters when it comes to Bible prophecy. We sometimes call them antichrists. You ever heard that term before? The antichrist. Daniel saw them as one, but they were going to see two of them. You remember in Daniel's prophecy, as the Old Testament prophecies, they saw the first and the second coming of Christ as one event. They didn't understand the time that we are living in today. What Daniel did not see in his prophecy, and you're going to see that especially in the next chapter, it becomes very clear that Daniel did not see what we call the New Testament era. The last 2,000 years of history in Daniel's vision didn't appear. He didn't see them. So he saw this Antichrist come, and then he saw the end. In reality, what Daniel saw are two different antichrists, but he saw them as one. He saw two different comings of Christ, but he saw them as one. That's important to get that this morning. In 1 John chapter number 2, we're told that it is the last time, and ye have heard that the antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, what do we mean by the antichrist? Anti means what? What is the antichrist? Against or opposed to? Or it could also mean, and this is really the primary meaning, in place of. There are many antichrists. There are many things that come between us and God. We call them idols. There are things that antichrist, and of course the antichrist is, we see this person that we're going to see, that's two different people, one's in history and one's yet in the future. These antichrists that Daniel is seeing are not only in place of God, they claim to be God, but they are opposed to the true God. And both those are true meanings of the Antichrist. And I want to look at, first of all, the Antichrist of history. Now, both of them are in the future in Daniel's day, but one of them's in our history. And one of them is still in our future. Now, Daniel saw them two as one, but we see them as two separate men of sin, we're going to call them. The first one is the Antichrist of history. In Daniel 8:17, I drew your attention to it already. It mentions the time of the end. I get asked this question quite often. Do you believe we're living in the end times? Yes, we are. We've been there for 2,000 years. We've been in the end times. And we will be until Jesus comes again. In fact, Hebrews chapter number 1 starts it out this way: God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in the time past, that's the Old Testament, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days. In other words, the New Testament was written in the last days. Those are the days we're living in. In these last days has spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. Jesus, when He came, He opened the door, or He began what we call the last days, the last times. And Daniel saw it all as one event. You can understand why he saw, well, the Antichrist comes, the Christ comes, the Messiah comes in the next chapter of Daniel, and then it's the end. But he didn't see there's a 2,000 year space. And by the way, I'm glad that space exists, because that's when you and I live. And that's what we call the age of grace, when God's mercy reaches out not just to the Jew. Of course, salvation's always been for all people, but He's made it very clear that He came to save whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Now, it's interesting, before the first coming of Christ, we see an antichrist rise up. We see him as history now. And before the final coming of Christ, we see another antichrist. He's still in the future. And we're going to compare the two here very briefly. The first one, Daniel mentions him in this chapter. In fact, he describes this king, this emperor, this ruler, and this empire so graphically and so perfectly that many have supposed throughout history that Daniel was not written when it claims to have been written. We've recently found, or folks have recently found, that ancient copies of Daniel that existed long before these events took place. Now, what he's talking about here is that great goat with a notable horn. That notable horn was known in history as Alexander the Great. He rose to power in 331. Now, this is if you're familiar with the Bible, you realize between the writing of the Old Testament and the writing of the New Testament, there's 400 years where God was silent. We call them the silent years, where God didn't record anything in Scripture for 400 years. That's a long time, by the way. That's older than most of us. But that is a long time to go without hearing from God. And it was during those 400 years, while God was not speaking, He was still working, and there was a lot of things going on. Now, in the year 331, this man named Alexander the Great rose up, and he is who Daniel referred to as the Great Horn. Now, keep in mind, this is nearly 200 years after the life of Daniel that Alexander the Great rose up. And he says that he's going to raise up. He's going to be a great warrior, a great soldier. And then he's going to be cut off. He's going to be broke off. Alexander the Great, history says that he died at a very young age. While he was the king of the world, he conquered the world. In fact, he lamented because there was no one else left to conquer. And that's all he knew how to do, is conquer everybody. But he had controlled the entire world. But then all of a sudden his life was over. And then the book of Daniel says there were four horns that rose up. History says that there were four kings or four generals that rose up after Alexander the Great. And then one of them controlled Macedonia. One of them controlled Asia Minor. One of them controlled Syria, which is where Israel is located. And one of them controlled Egypt. And I won't go into all the details. We talked about that a little bit on Wednesday night. And out of those horns eventually would rise another little horn. And that's who we're talking about today, the man of sin, the little horn. Now, this man rose up. His name was Antiochus the Fourth. He took upon himself the name of Epiphanes. Never trust anybody that calls themselves Epiphanes. That's like when somebody names themselves pious, I don't trust them. When somebody calls themselves honest, don't trust them, all right? When he calls himself Epiphany, that means a person of God, a vision of God, the person of God. He called himself Epiphanes. In the year 350, he rose to power. I'm sorry, the year 175 before Christ, he rose to power. Now keep in mind, this is 350 years after the death of Daniel. And Daniel describes this man in great detail. We'll read the verses here in just a little bit. But Daniel referred to this man. Now, this man is a forerunner or a type or a picture of the Antichrist, the one that's opposed to Christ. He was a very wicked man that rose to power as a peace-loving, good man. But then it became very obvious quickly that he was not a peaceful man, and he hated the people of God. He ransacked and tried to destroy the temple. In fact, he got so sick and tired of the Jews that he did everything he can to disgrace them. He took a pig, which was an unclean animal, to the Jews. Boy, I'm glad I'm a Gentile, because I love pork chops and bacon, huh? He took a pig and offered that pig on the altar, an unclean animal on the altar. And then he not only did that, but he made a broth out of the blood of that pig and forced the priest to drink that blood. We're talking about, and he did everything he could to defile the temple, to ridicule and mock and kill and destroy God's people during his reign. He was the original hater of the Jews, the anti-Semite, the one that wanted to destroy the Jewish people and rid the world of them. Some of you might be familiar with, during that silent year, there was a man named Judas of Maccabees that rose up a revolt, the Maccabean revolt. And out of that victory, the miraculous victory that he got out of that, and God sparing these few Jews that held up, came the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Hanukkah, I'm sorry, the Festival of Lights. The Feast of Hanukkah that was celebrated and still celebrated by Jewish people today originated during that time. But this is the great Antichrist, the one that hated the Jews. And he came just before the first coming of Jesus Christ. But God said, and Daniel described that man. Of course, he was in the future for Daniel. But now we look back in history and see him. And Daniel was using him to describe one that is yet to come, that's still in our future. And he is the Antichrist. In chapter number 8 and verse number 19, he says, the last end of the indignation. In chapter number 8, in verse number 23, we start there. It says, in the latter time of their kingdom. And again, Daniel saw this Antichus Epiphanes and the ultimate Antichrist that we're still looking. He saw them as the same person. But we see them as two separate persons, one behind us and one's in front of us. One's before the first coming of Christ, one's before the second coming of Christ. Look at Daniel chapter number 8, verse number 23, what Daniel says about this man. And again, he's looking at both of them, and I think it's more even a graphic description of the one that is to come. In verse number 23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full of a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. That means he's demon possessed. That means he's got supernatural ability and power and strength. And he shall destroy wonderfully. Now, that word wonderfully doesn't mean he's going to be a good guy. That means he's going to be terrible. He's going to cause great destruction and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people, God's people. Through his policy also he shall cause craft or witchcraft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, against God himself, and he shall be broken without hand. God's going to judge him. God is going to take care of him. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut. Now, notice what the angel says to Daniel after he describes this person to him. He says, now shut up the vision, for it shall be for many days. In other words, close the book and set it aside. We're not going to understand this for time till we get farther down the road. And certainly the followers of Daniel some 300 years later would see Antichus Epiphany rise. And now we're 1,300, 1,400 years almost from the time of Daniel. And we're beginning to see, I believe, the rise of the Antichrist of the future. In the latter time, he will come. There will rise another Antichrist. Now, this Antichrist is called by many, he's mentioned many times in the New Testament. He's sometimes called the Antichrist. He's sometimes called the man of sin. The little horn that Daniel refers to, he's the beast of Revelation. He's the son of perdition, Jesus talked about. He is that wicked one. And when he comes, he's going to promise peace. In verse number 25, by peace he shall destroy many. He'll come in promising peace. Isn't that what the world wants today? I mean, Miss America wants that. Everybody wants that, doesn't it? All that I want world peace, right? Everybody's looking for peace. That's all that they're willing to do anything to have peace on earth and to get rid of all these wars that are constantly. One comes up and we think we got it settled before the dust even settled. There's another one started. There's multiple wars going around all the time in our world. In Revelation 6, the Antichrist of the future arrives on the scene riding a white horse. Let me get my R's and the W's straightened out there. He rides a white horse with a bow in his hand, but that bow has no arrows. In other words, he says, I come in peace. I don't come to destroy, I come to make peace on earth. And everyone welcomes him in. And Daniel 8:25 says, he shall by peace he shall destroy many. He will come in peace. But back in Daniel chapter number 7, in verse number 25, Daniel talked about 3.5 years. The book of Revelation talks about 7 years of the Antichrist reign. But the first 3.5 years are peace. In fact, he's a friend of Israel. He helps them rebuild the temple. He helps them restore the worship of God. And they begin to turn to God, and everything seems to be going. He promises he settles all the arguments, all the wars, all the disputes of the world. In 1 Thessalonians, we're here of this Antichrist. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when men shall say peace and safety, then suddenly shall destruction be upon them. You see, something happened to Antiochus Epiphanes after he'd reigned for a while and came in as a peaceful man, a peace-loving man, but then his true colors were shown. He rose up against God's people and became known as the enemy of God like no other man. When the Antichrist comes, he's going to come as a person of peace. In fact, he's going to claim to be God. He's going to claim to do something that no one's ever been able to do. Yet, you know, all my lifetime, I've heard people, oh, they signed another peace treaty. I'm getting everything mixed up today. In the Middle East. And this is going to resolve all the conflicts. Usually by the end of the year, that one's gone. Then there's another one that rises up. Oh, we're going to solve another one. And over and over again, people have tried it, especially that part of the world and everywhere in the world. This is going to be a lasting peace. Oh, we're going to keep this one. This is going to work this time. How many times can you reinvent the wheel and it still doesn't roll? It just doesn't work. It doesn't carry over. But when the Antichrist comes, he's going to promise peace, and we're going to have peace for 3.5 years. Something's never been accomplished before. 2 Thessalonians says that he will also claim to be God. And by the way, only God can bring real peace. When he comes, he's going to come as God. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 says, let no man deceive you by any means. But that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I told that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what he that withholdeth that he might be revealed in that last time. In other words, the Holy Spirit holding him, resisting him, holding him back, but he's going to let him loose. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. His true wickedness, this Antichrist, this son of perdition, his full identity will be known, whom the Lord shall consume by the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, in all power and signs and lying words and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of truth, that they might be saved. And therefore, this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie. Let me tell you, friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's coming a time. Now, you're deceived by the devil today, where there's coming a time where if you keep rejecting God, there's coming a time where God is going to make it impossible for you to be saved. God will send you a strong delusion because you've rejected his clear message of salvation. Jesus loves you with an eternal love. He died for your sin. He offers salvation to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. But if you reject him, and you're still here when that man of sin shows up, when that Antichrist shows up, you're going to believe a lie. And by the way, I've always asked, and we could talk about this Antichrist and who he is, and folks want to know who he is, and everybody's got their ideas of who he is. And I've always just simply asked this. Are we talking about a person or a system or a thing when we talk about the Antichrist? Are we talking about some system or is it an individual? you understand some things about this individual. There is not an individual that has ever walked the face of the earth that's capable of doing everything that the Antichrist is going to be doing when he shows up. It may be a system. It's a governmental system, is what I've always thought. But there's something that I see today that fits every category of who the Antichrist is. Someone who sees everything, or someone or something that sees everything. Someone or something that knows everything. That sure ain't me. maybe it's you. I don't know. Somebody who's heard by all men when he speaks. Everybody hears him. Everywhere in the world, people hear him speak. He controls the commerce. He is a source of truth. If you want to know something, ask him. He knows, and he'll be glad to tell you. He's recognized and worshiped as God. I say this, that the devil is the father of all lies, and he is the ultimate conspirator. People get all wrapped up in different conspiracies, which are silliness and foolishness. Yeah, there's a conspiracy, and no man smart enough to be behind any of them. The devil himself is behind every one of them. The last empire that Daniel describes, when he describes the four empires, the last one, if you notice the last one, the great and terrible beast, when you look at him, the description that Daniel gives, he's part animal and part machine. He's not all biological. The image that Nebuchadnezzar got back in Daniel chapter number 2, he's part iron and part clay. Our flesh is made up of clay. He's part human and part machine. What is he? I think there's one thing that fits very perfectly with who this Antichrist is, and every one of us has already got stock in him. What? You know, when I was a kid and we were talking about, when I was first saved, and we were talking about, don't take a credit card, that's the mark of the beast. He's going to put a tattoo on your forehead. You know, we've already willingly taken the mark of the beast. We carry it, and somebody's dinging right now. Somebody's mark is dinging right now. It's our cell phone or our smart watch. We got the mark on our hand, right? Or in our head, right in our ear. We listen to it. I think there's one thing that fits the category perfectly. It knows everything. That sees everything. Knows more about us than we know ourselves. You ever go somewhere and your phone starts dinging and says, you were here 3 years ago. How do you know that? Huh? That's a little bit scary, isn't it? And the artificial intelligence world today fits perfectly the Antichrist. And he's worshipped as he knows everything. He got it all figured out. And I'm not so concerned about him, because the truth is we know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We may use those things, but they don't have to control us. We talk about the man of sin, the Antichrist of the past, Antichrist Epiphanes. There seemed to be no escape from him, but God did provide a way for those handful of Jews that found shelter in Jehovah. And the Antichrist, God's going to find shelter for us through the rapture, when we're snatched away before his full wrath is poured out, before he completely takes over, we're going to step into heaven before, by the end of, when we pass from life to death, we'll pass to eternal life in him. I'm looking for the man beyond the Antichrist, the man that puts all sin behind him. The man that puts an end to sin. I'm looking for the real Christ, not the Antichrist. The one in place of him. The one that is an imposter. In Revelation chapter number 19. Oh, I love these. I'm going to just read these verses. Revelation 19 and chapter number 21 too. When we come to the very end, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. The revealing of Jesus Christ. Not the revealing of how bad things are going to get before he comes, but the revealing of Jesus Christ is what we're focusing on. In Revelation 19 it says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. This is the second white horse in the book of Revelation. The first one, the Antichrist rides on. The second one, Jesus rides on. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and in his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, and white and clean. I'm not much of a cowboy, but I'm going to be in that day. And I'm going to be dressed in white with a white cowboy hat even. I don't know. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the man that will put an end to sin. In Revelation chapter number 21, this is what I'm looking forward to. Not this world, not a kingdom of this world, not somebody that's going to promise peace and then break his promise. I'm looking for the Prince of Peace. In Revelation chapter number 21, in the beginning of verse number 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he saith unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." That's the king I'm looking for. That's the ruler I'm looking for. That's what I'm longing for. I'm not so much worried about the wickedness that's going to come, though it's a terrible world that we live in, and we're going to see wars and rumors of wars and all these bad things happen, but we're looking beyond that to the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And the important thing is knowing him today. Do you know him as your Savior? Are you a citizen of his kingdom? Are you walking with him? Are you enjoying his presence today? Our verse that we've been memorizing, if I can read it on the screen, I can't hardly see it. You know, I've got it on a paper here somewhere, but I can't find it. I'll read it on the screen. In Daniel 2:44, "In the days of these kings, the man's kings, the empires of man, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." That's the kingdom I'm a citizen of since the day I got saved. And I'm longing to see my king come again. Are you ready for his coming? The things happening in our world today are happening so quickly, just as Daniel had said. And the Prince of Peace, as the book of Revelation, or the Prince of the God of this world, has got his Antichrist lined up and already marching and coming in quickly. Are we looking beyond him and trusting Jesus Christ for salvation? Do we know him? Do we have a relationship with him and a walk with him? I'm going to ask you to stand.